Hare Krishna. So, Ramchandra all of a sudden saw that Ravan was sitting on the wall of the northern gate, surrounded by his associates. And so other monkeys also saw, Sugriv also saw, and Sugriv then immediately went, in a flash of a moment, he just attacked Ravan. He jumped there, and with one slap, he made Ravan's crown went flying, and he started to slap him, beat him up. And Ravan was quite perplexed, but then, Sugriv pounced. I'll just read that part. It's a very interesting part. Sugriv pounced on Ravan, knocking his crown off in the process. The surprised Rakshasa king then grabbed Sugriv, and while uttering similar threats, threw Sugriv to the ground. Sugriv, however, bounced up immediately like a rubber ball, and in turn, braced Ravan, throwing him to the ground with great force. He just got hold of Ravan and crushed him on the floor. A fierce wrestling match ensued as the two heroes scratched each other with their nails, covering them with blood and perspiration. After striking each other with their fists and arms and wrestling for a long time, Sugriv and Ravan both fell down from the gate onto the ground in the area between the boundary wall and the moat. Then jumping to their feet, the two kings continued fighting, exhibiting all their knowledge in the art of wrestling. At last, when Ravan realized he could not defeat Sugriv with mere physical strength, he called upon his mystic powers. Understanding this, Sugriv decided to abandon the fight. He bounded into the air and immediately returned to where Ram was staying. Sugriv was now feeling blissful, having performed such a heroic feat, and his followers responded by jumping excitedly. Embracing Sugriv in love, Ram mildly chastised him, saying, "You have acted foolishly, for you dared to do something without my sanction. Besides this, a king should never take such risks, because the death of a ruler is a great calamity for the entire nation. O Sugriv, if Ravan had killed you, then I certainly would have slain him in retaliation. Then after installing Vibhishan upon the throne of Lanka and Bharat on the throne of Ayodhya, I would have given up my life for having allowed you to be killed in my presence." So another wonderful sentiment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that which means that the Lord never allows anyone to die. He never allows his devotee to die in his presence. He says that if you died, then I would have killed myself, which means that the Lord never allows anyone, never allows his devotee to die in his presence. Sugriv, however, replied, "After seeing that rascal Ravan, the abductor of Sita, I could not bear to simply ignore him." When I saw, I started to burn in anger that here is the one who abducted Sita. So I just couldn't restrain myself and I just acted out of that impulse. Ram said, "Regardless, you courageously displayed your heroism and all the monkey soldiers have been inspired by your fearless example." The way he acted was really heroic. Ram then ordered Angad to deliver a message to Ravan. And immediately leaping on the air, Angad quickly came before Ravan, who was sitting atop the northern gate surrounded by his ministers. Staying a slight distance from Ravan, Angad announced, "My name is Angad, nephew of King Sugriv, and heir apparent to the royal throne of Kishkindha." He was the crown prince. "I have come here as Ram's envoy with this message." So he is repeating that message. "O king of the Rakshasas, now that all of your pious credits have been exhausted, I am going to kill you in retaliation for your atrocities against the Rishis. If you do not surrender to me at once, then I shall rid the entire world of Rakshasas. Either submit to me, or come before me, so that I can purify you with the onslaught of my deadly arrows. If you are unwilling to return Sita and bow down before me, then I advise you to take a last good look at Lanka, for that will be your last." I advise you to have a good look at Lanka, because this will be your last time that you will look at Lanka, that you will see Lanka. Inflamed with rage, Ravana ordered his ministers to kill Angad. So, kill that monkey. Angad allowed the Rakshasas to grab him. So, four Rakshasas were grabbing him from two sides. And when they did that, Angad leapt in the sky and jumped onto Ravan's palace. And in the course, they were clinging onto him when he was flying. And then he just shook them and they all fell on the ground. And then he landed on Ravan's palace top. And with his bare hand, he uprooted the palace top, which was the glory of the palace. The top of the dome of the palace was destroyed by him in one blow. And then he came back to Angad. He came back to Ramchandra. And witnessing Angad's prowess, Ravan foresaw his own destruction and began sighing repeatedly. He started to sigh. "Oh, alas, now it's my end." So then the war began. The battle began. The Rakshasas struck the monkeys with their clubs and other weapons. And the monkeys countered by using trees, stones, and their claws and teeth. So, the Rakshasas had the most sophisticated weapons. And what did the monkeys have? What were they fighting with? They didn't have any weapons to fight with. They were uprooting trees. They were collecting rocks, breaking the mountain peaks. And with that, they were fighting. But when a devotee uses a weapon like that, no matter how insignificant it is, they become surcharged with the spiritual power. They become so surcharged with spiritual power that even thunderbolt becomes insignificant to them. So they were hurling stones, but what were the stones? Those stones were more vulnerable, more powerful than thunderbolt. And the Rakshasas were dying everywhere. And big generals, those were actually, even could not be defeated by the demigods. The monkeys were killing them left, right and center with just some stones and trees. The monkeys did not have proper equipment with which to fight the soldiers of Ravan, whereas Ravan's soldiers were equipped with sophisticated weapons. And the monkeys could only throw stones, mountain picks and trees. It was only Lord Ram and Lakshman who shoot some arrows. But because the soldiers of Ravana were condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, the soldiers of Ravan were cursed by Mother Sita, and Ramchandra's soldiers were empowered by Ramchandra, that they were no match. Rakshasas were no match to the monkeys. Then in that fight, Indrajit struck Angad with his mace, but the monkey prince deftly grabbed it out of Rakshasa's hand and smashed it against his chariot. He picked up the mace of the Indrajit, and with that mace he just smashed Indrajit's chariot. Jambumali pierced Hanuman with a spear, but then the son of Bayu jumped into the Rakshasa's chariot and killed him with a violent slap. He hurled a spear at him, it pierced him in his chest. But Hanuman was unaffected by that. With the spear stuck on his chest, he just went, jumped onto his chariot and just gave him such a terrible slap that he fell dead. There's some very, very interesting fight between them that we'll describe. Nikumbha pierced Nila with numerous arrows, but the monkey hero still managed to cut off the Rakshasa's head using a wheel from his broken chariot. He picked up a wheel from the broken chariot, and with that he severed the head of that general of Ravan, Nikumbha. During the fierce battle, headless trunks and... Okay. Ram, Sugriv and Nala killed numerous other Rakshasas. And the heroic army of monkeys inflicted heavy losses upon the enemy. Although the Rakshasas were more visible because of their golden armor, it was their nature to become enlivened at night. Thus the hordes of Rakshasas suddenly attacked Ram in the darkness with great enthusiasm, their loud roaring creating a tumultuous sound. With the giant monkey Golangula supporting him on one side and Jambuvan's brother Dhurma on the other, Ram pierced Mahaparsha, Mahodara, Suka, Sarana and two other Rakshasas with 6 golden arrows that brightly lit up the night. So they were fighting at night. Then, as the 6 Rakshasas fled for their lives, Angad smashed Indrajit's chariot and killed his driver. Indrajit, who was also injured, abandoned his disabled chariot and vanished from view, while the demigods and rishis praised the monkey prince from their position in the sky. Remaining invisible in the sky, the enraged Indrajit showered down arrows that took the form of serpents. This was because of benediction from Lord Brahma. So he had this Nagpash that he will shoot the arrow, and the arrow will turn into snakes, and then the snakes will tie up the person. And this was practically impossible to free oneself from. The The snake arrows immediately bound Ram and Lakshman very tightly. Unable to move because of Indrajit's serpent arrows, Ram and Lakshman dispatched 10 of the foremost monkeys headed by Angad, Nila and Hanuman to search out Indrajit, because Indrajit was fighting invisible. They couldn't see him. So Ram sent 10 of them to look in 10 directions to find out where Indrajit was fighting for. However, as the monkeys sprang in the air, exploring in all directions, the invisible Indrajit pierced them with innumerable arrows. At the same time, he showered Ram and Lakshman with so many arrows that blood flowed profusely from the wound that completely covered their bodies. Indrajit announced, "O Ram and Lakshman, even Indra cannot see me. What to speak of others? Now it will be my great pleasure to dispatch you both to the abode of Jamaraj with my unceasing torrents of sharp arrows." Saying that, he started to shoot arrows at Ram and Lakshman. So he shot so many arrows that their whole body became covered with arrows. There was no space even to put a finger through. So, seeing this terrible sight, the monkeys became despondent. They became worried. And with tears in their eyes, as the leaders of the monkeys came to surround Ram and Lakshman, Indrajit proclaimed to his followers, "The two mighty brothers have fallen victim to my magical snake arrows, imbued with the power of Lord Brahma." So thinking that he has killed Ram and Lakshman, he went back to Ravan and very proudly declared that Ram and Lakshman are dead. So getting the news, Ravan became very excited and he embraced Indrajit, his dear son. And he called the Rakshasis and told them to take the Pushpak Rath, Pushpak chariot, that could fly through the sky, and take Sita in the chariot to show that how Ram and Lakshman are dead. So, again, while flying over the battlefield, Sita could see many slain monkeys and Rakshasas. Then suddenly she saw Ram and Lakshman lying on the ground, surrounded by grieving monkeys. As Sita heard the Rakshasas rejoicing, she gazed upon Ram's narrow, riddled body, his bow lying beside him, and was unable to contain her grief. Wailing loudly, Sita began lamenting. So, then Trijata, another friendly Rakshasi, who was also there with her, she consoled Sita, saying that, "O princess, you may rest assured that Ram and Lakshman are not dead. Because this Pushpak chariot will never carry a widow." So that is how she concluded that Ram cannot be dead. Ram is still alive. Because Pushpak will not carry. If you are a widow, then Pushpak wouldn't have carried you. And another point she made, that if Ram and Lakshman were dead, then why the monkeys are guarding them? They would have, there was no need for them to guard. They continue to guard Ram and Lakshman. Monkeys are in a state of confusion. They continue to guard Ram and Lakshman. What would be the necessity of guarding them if they were dead? Even from here I can see that luster remains in the faces of Ram and Lakshman. Therefore, Sita, do not give way to unnecessary grief. It is certain that your husband is still alive. Sita was slightly encouraged by Trijata's words and was then escorted back to the Ashoka Grove. Then Ram came back to his consciousness. But upon seeing Lakshman lying at his side, smeared with blood and without any sign of life, Ram exclaimed with anguish, "Even if I succeed in recovering Sita, the entire endeavor will be useless if Lakshman dies. Even if it were possible to somehow find a consort to replace the daughter of Janak, I could never find another friend such as Lakshman. If Lakshman dies, I too will give up my life, for I cannot bear to think of returning to Ayodhya without him. How could I ever face his mother after allowing him to die on the battlefield in my presence?" But then one amazing thing happened. All of a sudden, a fierce wind began to blow. And as if there was a huge storm, the trees were practically, it was so powerful that the trees were practically touching the ground. And then they saw Garuda coming. And as Garuda came, all the snakes ran away. And Ram and Lakshman were released. So then Ram, with gratitude, he asked him, "Who are you? I am so thankful to you for your help." And then he declared that, "I am your eternal servant, Garuda, the son of Binata. All the demigods headed by Indra could not have raised you from the bondage of Indrajit's snake arrows. These snakes are the sons of Kadru and were converted into arrows by the mystic power of Indrajit received from Lord Brahma. I came here just to chase them away, for snakes are my natural food and they're always afraid of me. My dear Lord, you should be very careful while fighting with the Rakshasas. They're very tricky, whereas heroes like yourself are always straightforward. I now wish to take my leave. Before I depart, let me assure you that you shall be victorious and get back your beloved Sita." Garuda then circumambulated Ram and, after embracing him again, soared into the sky. Seeing that Ram and Lakshman had recovered from their wounds, the monkeys jumped for joy. In their ecstasy, they beat drums, lashed their tails, and roared like lions, thus creating a great tumult. Then, after taking up trees and great boulders, they again prepared to continue the fight. Now, Ravan was relieved, thinking that now Ram and Lakshman are dead. But hearing the joyful roaring of the monkeys, Ravana suspected that Ram and Lakshman have revived. To make sure, he ordered his Rakshasas to investigate the reason for the monkeys' bravado. After climbing onto the defensive wall, the Rakshasas saw that Ram and Lakshman were alive and well. With great fear, they rushed to give Ravan the news. His doubts thus confirmed, Ravan again became filled with anxiety and his face turned pale. Swelling with rage, he ordered the great Rakshasa warriors, Dhumraksha, to go immediately and attack Ram. So the battle continued again. So one warrior, Okumpan, So Hanuman actually killed him. And when Ravan received that news, then Ravan decided that now he'll go to the battlefield himself. Before that, Ravan actually sent Prahastha. Then Prahastha also was dead. Prahastha was the commander-in-chief. So the news came of Prahastha's death, then Ravan became extremely worried. And then he decided to go to the battle. Now I'll just read some of the descriptions of the battle with Prahastha. Prahastha released torrents of arrows, slaughtering thousands of monkeys and scattering those who remained alive. Nila, the commander-in-chief of the monkeys, responded by exterminating innumerable Rakshasa soldiers. Taking up another tree, Nila killed Prahastha's horses and, while roaring loudly, broke the Rakshasa's bow. Picking up a club, Prahastha jumped down from the disabled chariot. The two warriors began fighting hand to hand, tooth to tooth. Prahastha struck Nila on the forehead with his club, making a gash that bled profusely. Without wavering, although he was hit so terribly on his head, but Nila was unaffected. And he countered by striking Prahastha in the chest with a tree. Also oblivious to the blow, the Rakshasa commander again rushed towards Nila, who grabbed the giant rock. Then as Prahastha came close, Nila hurled the boulder upon his head, breaking it into pieces and causing the Rakshasa to immediately fall down dead. So then Ravan decided to come to the battlefield himself, and then with a great number of soldiers, Rakshasas, he came to the battlefield and he started to slaughter the monkeys. He was extremely powerful. And when Ram saw that Ravan is coming, Ram decided to confront him. But then Lakshman said, "No, let me go and fight him." So Lakshman approached Ravan, and then in order to guard Lakshman, Hanuman actually was on his side, giving him the support. And as Ravan was shooting arrows, Hanuman was shooting stones at the same speed and deflecting all those arrows that were shot at Lakshman. So that enraged Ravan very much. So instead of approaching Lakshman, Ravan actually attacked Hanuman. Then Hanuman was very excited when he saw Ravan coming towards him. So he said that, "I know that you are not to be killed by demigods, Danavas, Daityas, Asuras, Nagas. But remember, you are vulnerable to the monkeys. So be prepared for your..." So Ravan said that, "Okay, so I give you the chance, a free hit on my chest." So he hit me on the chest, a free hit, a challenge. So then Hanuman said that, "Did you already forget how your son Aksha was killed by me? So don't forget that. And you are no match to me. Ravan, be ready, be prepared." And So that enraged Ravan very much and also brought out the emotion that here is the killer of his son. So Ravan, with a clenched fist, he just struck Hanuman on the chest. So Hanuman kind of became dazed for a moment. And then he regained his composure and then he went and slapped Ravan on the chest. And that made Ravan to profusely bleed from his mouth, 10 mouths, 20 nostrils, 20 ears, 20 ears and 20 nostrils. All over he was bleeding. He became kind of unconscious. But then he went and hit Hanuman again. So this was just fist fight going on between. Like this is the Vedic way of fighting. Like if the enemy was with unarmed, then the opponent won't attack him with weapon. It's only equal weapon they would fight with. So then Ravan hit Hanuman so hard that Hanuman almost became unconscious for a moment. So when Hanuman was out of his way, Ravan attacked Nila, the general of the monkey army. So Nila then retaliated with Ravan. Like Nila hurled some trees at Ravan. Ravan cut those trees with his arrows. And then he attacked him and the fight began between two of them. And Nila, with some mountain peak, he hurled at Ravan's chariot, and Ravan's chariot broke. So this way, they kept on fighting. Then Lakshman came to fight with Ravan. Then Ravan released a Brahmastra as a shell, as a lance, and that pierced Lakshman's chest, and Lakshman became unconscious. Then Ram came to the scene, and feeling great enmity towards Ram, Ravan started to shower his arrows. Ram was carried by Hanuman on his back. So Ravan actually first attacked Hanuman. However, since Hanuman remained unaffected, Ram was able to move next to Ravan's chariot and smash it to pieces. So he smashed Ravan's chariot to pieces. Then taking up an effulgent arrow, Ram gashed Ravan's chest, making him feel dizzy and drop his bow. Finally, after cutting off Ravan's flag, Ram declared, "You have performed a heroic feat by killing unlimited monkeys on the battlefield. Therefore, you must be quite exhausted from fighting." He's sarcastically telling. Ravan was practically defeated by Ram. But Ram let him go. He said that after displaying your valor, after displaying your heroic feat by killing unlimited monkeys on the battlefield, you must be quite exhausted from fighting. And I will refrain from killing you now. You may return to Lanka to rest. When you recover, I'll fight with you again. So this is how, shamed and embarrassed, Ravan returned to Lanka with his head hung down. And Ram and Lakshman turned to extracting arrows from the monkeys' bodies. Upon witnessing Ravan's humiliation, the demigods and rishis stationed in the sky rejoiced, confident that their mission would soon be accomplished. So Ravan then went back and he called another meeting with his ministers, and he started to tell them that Actually, Ravan performed a great austerity for 10,000 years. And this austerity was so terrible that Brahma came to him and asked him what he wanted. And like Hiranyakashipu also, Ravan wanted immortality, blessings of benediction of immortality from Brahma. But Brahma told him that that's impossible to give. So then Ravan asked him the boon of immortality from all the demigods and Rakshasa, the Daityas and Danavas, all the other celestial beings. But he forgot or did not ask any benediction to not be killed by human beings and monkeys. That's why again this advantage was taken, that loophole. Actually, when Brahma gives benediction, some loopholes are left, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead finds some loophole. Just as he found some loophole in case of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu became practically immortal. He won't be killed by any weapon, he won't be killed by any man and woman, animal, and so forth. Demigods, Rakshasas, demons. He won't be killed on the space, on the ground, he won't be killed by any weapon, he won't be killed during day or night. He thought he became immortal. But what did Lord do? He found a loophole in all this, or with his inconceivable potency, he can create a situation where all these benedictions can be nullified. And he did that. He appeared as Hiranyakashipu. He killed him with his nails, not by any weapon. He placed him on his lap, not on the sky, not on the land. Not inside the room, outside the room, on the doorway. He placed him on his lap. So similarly, the loophole was kept here, that human beings were not included. So the Lord appeared in the human form as Ramchandra to kill Ravan. And so Ravan is telling that, despondently sitting on his throne, Ravan explained to his ministers, long ago when I received benediction from Lord Brahma, he warned me to be beware of human beings. After that, a king in the line of Ikshaku named Anaranya once cursed me, saying, in the future, someone will appear in my dynasty who will kill you and all your relatives. Later, again, I was cursed by Bedavati after I accosted her. Indeed, I believe it is she who has become the daughter of King Janak just to bring about my death. Once Ravan was flying through the sky, and then he saw an extremely beautiful girl in the Himalayas all by herself, performing, sitting in on a trance, performing austerity. So Ravan became, Ravan was very lusty, like any demon. That is again the difference between a devotee and a demon. Devotees learn to control their lust. Due to their love for the Lord, their heart becomes free from lust. Whereas the demons are always full of lust. So their enjoyment is wine and women. Like today we can see how today's civilization has become so demoniac. Because all the men are just after women. And their way of life is intoxication. Wine and women. And so Ravan was actually the greatest of all demons. He was the epitome of lusty character. As we can see that he is lusting after Sita. although he has so many wives, so many concubines, still he is not satisfied with that. And so this girl was actually performing austerity. Her name was Vedavati. She was performing austerities in the Himalayas in order to get the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a husband. She wanted Vishnu, Krishna to be her husband, or get Krishna as her husband. So she was performing austerities. So Ravan saw her and became lusty. He wanted to enjoy her. And as he grabbed her by the hair, tried to molest her, she actually cursed Ravan that just by your touch, this body has become impure. So I'll give up this body. And I tell you, I will come again and I'll be the cause of your death. And saying that, she generated a flame from within herself. And that body was burnt to ashes. And that Vedavati appeared as Sita. Because of her austerities in her previous life, she got the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her husband, Ramchandra. And she became the cause of Ravan's death. This time, she appeared as Sita, and Ravan abducted her, and as a result of that, Lord Ramchandra is about to kill him. So ultimately these are the pastimes. But these pastimes are so wonderful that we get to recognize who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. Just by hearing these pastimes, we develop our love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just hearing these pastimes, we recognize how great, how magnanimous, how powerful, and how wonderful the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. So purpose of all these discourses, purpose of all these seminars and classes is simply to generate this love for the Lord. There is no other, don't treat this as some kind of entertaining stories. I am not here to entertain you all. I am here giving this seminar just to make you understand who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, how wonderful He is, and how magnanimous He is, how kind He is, and the goal of your life is to surrender unto Him. And when you surrender unto Him, then your life will become perfect. You will achieve everything, then there won't be anything to worry about. Then you'll become completely free from anxiety, you'll become free from all fear, and your life will become full of joy. That is the reward of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead by hearing His wonderful pastimes. Lord Ramchandra came. Sometimes when I was preparing for the class, I was feeling such overwhelming emotions that what Sita Devi had to go through. And I was thinking that Krishna's pastimes are much better. Ramchandra's pastimes is full of pathos. It's Korun Rosh and Veera Rosh. Ramchandra's pastime, the central theme of these pastimes is chivalry and pathos. In one hand, we are seeing the terrible situation that Sita Devi is in, how she is suffering. But then again, we see the valor of Ram, valor of Lakshman, Hanuman, Sugriv, all the monkey chiefs. And that is Ramchandra's pastimes. Whereas Krishna's pastimes is in Madhur Rasa, the sweet mellow of loving exchange between Krishna and Srimati Radharani and the gopis. Well, that's why Krishna Leela is more palatable. And Ramchandra's Leela, but still it is necessary. Because by hearing Ramchandra's pastime, by recognizing Ramchandra, we appreciate who Krishna Chandra is. Without Ramchandra's pastimes, we will not be able to properly appreciate Krishna. So I'm thinking that every year I will give, I'll select different topics to give seminar on. This year all the seminar will carry the same topic, Ramayana. And next year the topic will be Mahabharata. But in order to approach Mahabharata, we need to go through Ramayana. Because you will see that how much more relishable Mahabharata will become because you have got the grounding of Ramayana. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.